Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research as we do every single day. And thank you for your continued support. Hope you guys have been enjoying the shows over the last few weeks with the visual. We're on audio only today. Dad's been traveling. We're moving some stuff around, so we want to make sure we still bring you the updated news and health research. We'll just be back on visual probably tomorrow. And if anything, I'll be on there solo tomorrow. So it'll still be a really, really good show. Got tons of stuff we're going to be going over this week. Lots of news articles and health stories. And again, if you guys have seen the website over the weekend, you guys know the B-Complex formula on super sale right now for over 10% off. Gotten a lot of emails with people asking me about it as far as with adrenals, with healthy nervous system, with brain functioning. And I've told you guys last week, we went in detail if you want to listen to some of the articles or some of the shows. This product is one of the key products that really helps out as far as nutrients. It helps out with overall mental clarity and all overall well-being, so to speak. So when you're trying to get back, say you're a little down, you're having a rough day or a rough week or something's just going on, the B vitamins along with the omega-3 fats, those two together are crucial nutrients that really help out the body. And if you really need some additional support, you can throw in the 5-HTP. That really help out us too as far as serotonin production. So be sure to check that out on sale right now for product of the week. And also too, the blood sugar and body fat burning stat, the one and only, simplistic as it gets, but as effective as it can be, the cinnamon extract and the berberine ultimate. That's our dihydroberberine, which is five times more bioavailable than regular berberine stacked with the cinnamon extract. Really, really great results. No stimulants in this. So if you're sensitive to caffeine or you're not wanting to take a bunch of caffeine or stimulants, there's no stimulants in this fat burner stack. So it's a really good formula that you can take on a regular basis without getting any of the jitters. A lot of the fat burners on the market, I've told people this before, you know, there's 50,000 fat burners on the market, but the problem is a lot of them don't actually address the root issues, and that comes down to blood sugar and cravings. And then what they do is they stack a lot of these body fat burner compounds with just copious amounts of caffeine and stimulants. So, yeah, sure, your body temperature goes up, you're super jittery, you're all jacked up on caffeine and other different forms of it, and you burn more body fat because you're more active and you're more hyperactive. But at the end of the day, the problem with that is those products are not long-term sustainable. When you're taking fat burners that contain 300-500 milligrams of caffeine or different stimulants throughout the day, you will find very shortly after 2 to 3 weeks, they don't work that well anymore. And then you start going to what's called adrenal fatigue. And this is very common. I've seen in the bodybuilder world over the last 15 years that I was involved in. It's just, adrenal fatigue is a very serious problem with bodybuilders because of pre-workouts, because of fat burners, continual caffeine usage, excessive caffeine usage. The body becomes so dependent that it becomes very difficult to even train, get good training sections in without having massive amounts of caffeine. And that's why the B-Complex is such a great formula that it really helps support the adrenal glands as well. And you can also throw in the adrenal support with that. So be sure to check it out on the website. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. You know where to get a hold of us. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. And I've been watching some of the stuff in the markets today. I've told you guys these next coming weeks are going to be very interesting to watch. As you know, today the banks, Federal Reserve, ceased the emergency lending fund program, the BTFP. They will be stopped making new loans, essentially those ultra low rates they did. And they will essentially be running them at value at maturity of U.S. Treasury rates. So these things are going to be back up to, you know, 5.5-6% loans that these banks are going to be getting. You're going to see a lot of small banks start going under, which means you're going to see a lot of the big banks take them over again and start cannibalizing them, which is what they've done numerous times in the past, so that the bigger banks continue to consolidate to smaller banks disappear, and all you have are continually larger growing banks and no more smaller banks that you can actually interact with anymore. And speaking of cannibals, Haiti now seems to be getting worse and worse and worse down there. I've given some people some heads up on that because I told you guys last week, if you guys recall, that there's a high probability they were going to use this incident, which in my opinion is a complete CIA op down there. A lot of these gangs and groups that are running around, I've seen photos of them, and they're all running U.S. machine guns. I mean, multiples of them with M4s. Look like another one had a Mark 18, H&K weapons down there. You know, where are these guys getting U.S. machine guns from? Like, know that, you know what I mean? Oh, that's right. That's what I forgot. ATF, they love giving everybody machine guns, but the rest of the free world in the United States. So, yeah, apparently Haiti is getting sideways down there. My condolences to families, but this is definitely not something that's just random off the cuff. And so, again, now I saw an article, of course, like I figured, Miami Herald puts out a big article now that's gone – all over the state of Florida. Title is, worry that Haiti crisis may prompt the migrant surge to South Florida coast. Feds look for the signs. Then essentially it talks about the gang violence and rebellion in Haiti and essentially everything that's going on down there and how essentially all the Haitians are going to start moving to South Florida. Wonder how that's going to happen. Oh, I'm not sure. I'm sure they're going to be taken care of with all these NGOs that are continually funded by George Soros. So we're now going to be bringing in cannibalistic Haitians with weapons into South Florida. That just sounds like more we need to add on top of the meth heads and alligators and all the other nefarious things we have in Florida with the hurricanes. Now we're going to be having cannibals from Haiti. Should be interesting. Yeah, a joke before the show. I guess all the Patriots need to start getting the sweatshirts that they had on Die Hard where it says, ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. Just kind of give my heads up. Florida is not the state to start picking fights with people in down here. The guns in Florida are very significant. We have a lot of weapons down here in the state of Florida, so just let all patients know that. It's not going to be the same that they're doing down there. I thought that'd be interesting there. But yeah, so not to be surprised, they're pushing guys into Florida. So I guess we got our work cut out for us. Guess we got to start training some more, Dad. What do you think?
You know, now I have a machine gun. Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that one, Austin. I mean, you know, it's pretty crazy when you stop and think about it, the fact that, well, you know, some of the most corrupt people I've ever met in my entire life are from Haiti. That's a fact. And some of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life are from Haiti. I mean, they still have voodoo down there, and they still have witch doctors down there, and they still have, you know, Walking Dead down there and all the rest of it. I mean, they've got zombies walking around. I mean, I'm not joking, by the way. This is all factual stuff. And they do all kinds of satanic rituals, many of them do. And it's just a big mess. That's why a lot of the people that are Christians down there went out. They've had enough of it. They want to give them the United States. At least they can have some kind of consistency as far as what they're doing. But it's pretty much crazy when you stop and think about what they're doing and how they're continuing to do it and how there's so many issues going on with these people from Haiti and on and on and on. And I feel sorry for them. If I was from Haiti, I'd want to be out of Haiti too. But if you're down there and you're in part of a gang and you've got your roving gangs everywhere, raping and pillaging, it kind of sounds like the Clintons and what they did to Haiti. And man, they were accused of selling children and everything else down there. I mean, it's a big mess. And so we've got a situation here where if we have millions of people, there's like 11 million people on that island. That's a lot. There's a lot of people down there. If we have another 2 or 3 million coming to Florida from Haiti, which I'm sure Joe Biden would love to do. I'm sure the Democrats would love to do that. I'm sure that the progressives would love to do that because they think that the more they help people as far as giving them free stuff, the better they are and the better we are as a nation because we have more diversity. You know, here's the thing, Austin, you know, and we talked about this before. When you came into the United States, when my mom came here, well, she immigrated from Germany after World War II. My dad's parents were both German. He went back to Germany, met my mom. They fell in love. They got married. He brought her to the United States. She had to integrate. She had to become a citizen. She had to learn to speak English. She had to learn what the Constitution said. She had to do all of this stuff for her citizenship. It took her several years to get it all done in the study and to be able to speak English well enough to do it. But it was part of the integration process to become American, to become American citizen, be part of the solution instead of part of the problem. It was part of that. It was part of the entire solution for the United States to bring people in from other countries for ethnic diversity, which is great as far as from a DNA pool and everything else is great. But from a social standpoint, it's horrible if they don't get integrated because they bring their own problems from their own country into the United States with them. And what it allows them to do is to bring the same issues they had with them, the same, you know, gangs with them, like the MS-13 gangs coming out of Mexico. I mean, the MS-13 gangs, I guess they figured the pickings are riper in the United States because we have so many soft people running around now. I mean, there's so many pencil necks here. It's unbelievable what we have in the United States and what's happening. You know, the other day on Saturday, you know, I'm going to change subjects here. I'm going to do a little bit of a, you know, a segue. I was driving, you know, up to, you know, North Carolina. I'm here right now, had to have a break. And I'm looking on the highway. I mean, this is on Saturday and I'm in Atlanta and I look over the southbound side of 75. It's 8 lanes across. There's not a car on it. There's not a car on the highway. is completely and totally empty. And this went on for miles. And I thought, what the heck? And I thought, the only person that pulls this kind of weight is the president of the United States. Nobody else could shut down the highway like this. I felt like I was in an apocalyptic movie right now. I was watching this highway completely empty. And the northbound side, of course, is all jammed up and stopped and everything else. Southbound's empty. And sure enough, here come the, you know, the motorcycles, like 40 motorcycles, you know, right beside each other. Then here come all of these SUVs. And it's sure enough, I looked it up, Biden was in town. Now, here's the irony. He was going back down to the airport. He'd spoken in downtown Atlanta, apparently. He's going back to the airport, which is the southwest portion of Atlanta. But here's the thing I don't understand. And I guess it was a show. I guess is what it was, just a show. You know, he likes the show. He closed down the highway. Then we got back to the point where the highway was open again. All the traffic had been stopped, and it was backed up for miles. It was just stopped. The whole traffic was backed up. So the whole southbound lane got stopped. And I thought to myself, wow. He could have had a helicopter land where he was on one of the rooftops and taken a helicopter back over to Hartsfield Airport over in Atlanta, and he could have basically flown out easily on Air Force One without stopping eight lanes of traffic for an hour. It was mind-boggling to me. And I thought to myself, what is this, some type of show of power? What would it feel like to have the ability to close down the interstate highway system and say, I'm driving now, don't bother me, peasant, I'm going to do what I want to do? He's gotten so senile now, Austin, and he's gotten so out of control as far as from his walking, et cetera, and falling all the time, that they won't even let him take the long steps down Air Force One. They take him out the tail cone because there's a little set of stairs that's a lot closer to the ground in the back, and they just take him out the backside. And I think to myself, this is supposed to be the leader of the free world. And then after the State of the Union address, he's now struggling again to read the teleprompter, and he can't even keep two coherent sentences together. And I don't know what they had him geeked up on the State of the Union. They probably had some type of, and it's my speculation, some type of amphetamine compound to get him all geeked up. We know that Hunter Biden really likes his cocaine. I wonder if they were using that. That's speculation. I'm not saying that he was, but how in the world did they get this guy to be able to speak and read a teleprompter and get his brain booted up to function? And now he comes back just a week later and he can't even read a teleprompter. It says Biden crashes after the State of the Union address. He is struggling to read a teleprompter, and it's concerning that even on Jill's face, she sees it. After the State of the Union, what some describe Joe Biden as amped up, with some even speculated when he was given something to help him pump up, we're now back to the same old Joe. But it seems even worse. He's doing a virtual campaign event on Saturday, but even with his handler wife by his side, he was clearly struggling not only to read the teleprompter, but have any kind of coherence and to understand what he was trying to say. You know, Biden starts off his reelection pitch. We have to start off by vaccinating America. What is he talking about, vaccinating America? We still have COVID. He not only seemed unable to read the words, but then once that threw him, he had a problem with tenses, saying we have to start off by vaccinating America when we should have paid past tense. It was clear that he was talking about the past, but he still got the tenses messed up. But even that was untrue, as we can recall. Biden didn't do anything. He inherited the vaccine. It was former President Donald Trump who declared a public emergency. All the Democrats were accusing him of racism. All Biden did was be a fascist about things like kicking people out of the military if they refused the vaccine. All of this stuff is sitting here, and it doesn't go down my craw very well. It's like everybody in the United States has been forced, Austin, to take a big old piece of chaw. You know, we had to go up to get some chewing tobacco, and we had to take a big old bite of it. And, you know, and it's choking on us. We're spitting up tobacco juice, but we can't spit the tobacco out. And we're sitting there going, what the heck are we doing here as we're choking and coughing and hacking? And yet we're going, this is insane that we got a guy that basically is doing this, but we can't say anything. We got to pretend like it's okay. It's true. What do you think?
That's a great analogy. I mean, let's just be honest. Everybody down in Florida has tried chewing tobacco before. I don't recommend it. It's not a healthy habit. It's not something I would ever recommend you using. But everybody's tried it in their day down here in Florida, and it is an experience your first time with a big old wad of chew. And, that's kind of what we're at now. It's like you got to try it, but you can't spit it out. You got to sit there and chew on a big old wad of chaw, and it's everybody's getting nauseous of it. Everybody's getting
it
sick
is.
Of it.
Everybody
it,
is.
Everybody's sick of it. I mean, even a lot of the Democrats you see now, and a lot of these responses from people that even voted for him are getting to the point now where they're like, this is just embarrassing. And, of course, you got some of the hardliners that have been sitting there. They're, oh, no, everything's great. And the propaganda media said, he's smarter than he's ever been. And then you watch some of these videos, and – It's just an embarrassment. And, you know, like I said before, a lot of this, in my opinion, is a psychological operation. This, again, is my opinion from my psych background, is basically devaluing and demeaning and degrading the United States and basically essentially doing a humiliation ritual to the United States and making the United States look like a complete and total clown show to the entire world, which they're doing a fantastic job with the CIA and the black ops and basically the deep state. They're doing a great job at it. Because there's nobody else in the rest of the world that even takes us seriously anymore except for our U.S. military. And as far as where we are with a lot of our U.S. military might and our Air Force and everything else, because we still have the most advanced military. But again, that's even being degraded, where we're sending all these munitions to all these other countries now and continually burning through everything that we have, while at the same time our enlistment rate's going through the floor. Because we came in and said, doesn't matter. If the shot's safe and effective, it doesn't matter if it doesn't protect you at all. It doesn't matter if it doesn't stop transmission. If you're in the U.S. military, you are forced to get this shot, or we are essentially going to dishonorably discharge you. But that's how far-fetched stupid it went with this shot in the U.S. military. And now they're coming back and saying, oh, well, by the way, everybody that got discharged, you know, if you want to come back, we'll let you reenlist. We'll let you come back in again because, you know, we can't really keep anybody in here because all we now have are guys that are coming in here that want to have transgender sex reassignment surgeries in the military, and we don't really know what to do with ourselves. Again, it's all about humiliating the United States, and that's why it is really, really important that we get some people accountable with Congress, because this has turned into an entire joke. And speaking of the COVID shot, there's another article that came out now from a Croatian pathologist named Ivan Pavic. He spoke with investigator Stephen Kirchnow recently about the disturbing phenomenon they're observing in people who got vaccinated. They said, according to Pavic, 65% now of the carcinoma cases among people aged 15 to 59 received at least one or more injections of the COVID shot. This, with a 55% vaccination rate overall in the same age group, calculated out, this means that getting jabbed for COVID increased one's risk of this particular form of cancer by 52%. Something is not disclosed when the shots were pushed through Operation Warp Speed. And what's interesting now, we keep seeing more and more and more of these numbers increasing as far as health problems and health risk. And that's why I've told so many people that even people I know that got the shot or they weren't sure about it or their jobs were trying to force them through, you know, coercion or was going to fire you if you don't get the shot. I've told people, I said, the biggest thing is antioxidants, anti-inflammatory response in the body, stuff like the resveratrol. The GHI cleanse, which I've had on the front page for months now that I've told people, encourage them to get it, along with the spike protein survival kit. There's certain nutrients that we have found now over the last couple of years that really help detoxify your body from spike proteins and also help reduce inflammation. Because remember, one of the key factors that's occurring with this shot is inflammation. That's why you're seeing issues with the blood clots. That's why you're seeing issues with pericarditis and myocarditis. That's inflammation of the heart muscle. You're seeing all these issues of people having arthritic conditions now with all these joint problems after they get the shot. And the list goes down the line. It's getting the body to take and handle this massive inflammatory response it's getting from the spike protein. And that's why we put together that spike protein survival kit and other products like the GHI cleanse. The GHI cleanse, as I have long told you, is one of the best anti-inflammatory supplements you could possibly buy, all the way from people that have had issues with alcoholism to arthritis to autoimmune diseases, all kinds of stuff. That product works incredibly well for, and that's why I've encouraged so many people to start on it. And even if it's something that you don't really want to take a lot of different products, that one product in and of itself, just making 1 to 2 protein shakes a day with it, I've seen enormous positive responses from people. And if you really want to stack it up, you take that product and you add the Ultimate Multiple Powder to it. Just those two alone can get some really, really good responses back from people and have some really good outcomes, especially when you're trying to keep your body healthy through this massive just incursion that we're seeing now with the food supply, with the air, with the water, with the shots. I mean, if everybody hasn't figured out now, the medical industrial complex and the pharmaceutical industrial complex is not there to keep you healthy. I mean, I think majority of people now have kind of gotten that grasped. They've understood that topic. They understood the assignment now with that. The pharmaceutical company cannot continually make hundreds of billions of dollars if people are healthy. They only make money when people stay on drugs. And the only way people get on drugs is when they're having health problems or they're told they're having health problems that the doctors prescribe them drugs for. The same thing we've seen with the hospital industrial complex. The only way to keep that industry continually making money is to keep people constantly rotating through the revolving door. Healthy people don't have to go to the hospital because the hospitals can't really make enough money off trauma centers, you know, a broken bone or a car accident. There's not enough money to be made because it's usually a one and done. You break your arm, you break your leg, you have surgery on it, you heal, you surgery, fix it, heal it, done. They have to keep people constantly in that industry through cancer and other topics. That's why I've told you guys so many times before, that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, the vaccination industry, especially with the childhood vaccines, has become so prominent is because the pharmaceutical companies have found if you continue to vaccinate these children, you'll continually increase their levels of health problems that they have, their autoimmune diseases, there are all types of allergies that they have, along with a host of other problems and autism. As long as you can keep children constantly coming in at a young age and constantly keep them going to the doctor and constantly on drugs, medications, surgeries, procedures, you'll have essentially a customer for the rest of your life. Because what you're doing is you're taking that child at a very young age and you're brain and training them, you're teaching them from a psychological operation that they need to continually go to the doctor and the pediatrician. Even if they have no health problems, even if they're perfectly healthy, you've got to go to the doctor's office again. Oh, you need your 3 month, you need your 6 month, you need your 9 month, you need your 12 month. And it goes on and on and on and on. You can look at the shot schedule. So what happens is by the time these children start reaching adulthood, they have been conditioned their entire life through the choice of their parents, I might add, I'm just going to put that out there, that they have to continually go to the doctor for every little thing that occurs. They get a sniffle, they go to the doctor. They get a cough, they go to the doctor. They get a headache, they go to the doctor. They need to go to the doctor because they're not feeling too well today. Oh, they're basically tummy hurts. They need to go to the doctor. And so what happens is you breed this generation of individuals that know nothing but continually living in the medical industrial complex. And this is why I've told so many people before, the natural routes are there for a reason. They work really, really good. I've used them my entire life. And so have thousands of other people we worked with. Why not try the natural approach first? If that really doesn't work and you're not pleased with it, the medical industrial complex, I promise you, is not going anywhere. It's always going to be there. And that's why it's so important when you're raising kids to really try to raise them up as healthy as they can be so they understand that concept from a young age that they don't have to live in the doctor's office every couple months, that they don't have to go to the doctor every time they have a cough or a sniffle, that their body's natural immune system that God blessed them with has the ability to handle a lot of things on its own, especially given the right nutrients like proper amounts of D3 and vitamin C and healthy multivitamins with bioactive B vitamins. All those things can produce a really, really healthy child and a really, really healthy adult longer on down the line. So something I just want to kind of add on there when I'm bringing that up, because what we're seeing now with these side effects from the shots, they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And that's why it's so important now to really look at stuff and address it and analyze it and do your own research, because quite frankly, we're in 2024, guys. No parent, in my opinion, has the excuse of blaming stuff now on, I didn't know. I've never heard of that. I don't know why. That excuse is long gone because, quite frankly, nowadays you literally have the world at your fingertips on a computer. You can look up just about any single topic within seconds and start doing your own research. But again, that's why the mainstream media and the medical industrial complex tells you, oh, no. That's fake news. That's misinformation. You can't read that. You can't talk about that. You can't look at that. That is the first phase of tyranny when you have groups of individuals that start telling you what you're allowed to read, what you're allowed to say, what you're allowed to think. And this concept really was perpetuated and exacerbated during COVID. And we saw it and it has not fallen off yet. And that's why I continue to tell people on a regular basis when it comes to health and nutrition, get the truth out there and talk to it and wake people up. Because when you wake people up, they no longer have the luxury of blaming, I didn't know anything on it, because now they've heard the truth or they've at least heard the research. Now it's for them to determine whether or not they want to expand on it or whether or not they want to stay in the matrix and basically stay on the blue pill. Just my personal opinion on it, Deb. What do you think?
Sometimes you tell them the truth, Austin. They don't want to know the truth.
Facts.
You know, I mean, my Bible says light has come into the world, but the world does prefer the darkness. I mean, you know, sometimes the truth will hit you upside the head, but you don't want to listen. You know, you don't want to do it. I mean, you tell a parent, you know, you really don't need to leave a kid, you know, playing video games, you know, 6-8 hours a day. You need to have them outside playing, you know, in the sunshine and digging a ditch or, you know, cutting a hedge or working outside and learning physical labor. And yet you sit back and the parent looks at you and goes, well, I don't want to do that because my life is too, you know, busy right now. And I don't want to be involved with having my child go out and do things that I have to pay attention to. I'd rather park him in front of a computer, in front of an iPad, or in front of an iPhone, and let him do whatever he wants to do as they reprogram their brain. And they actually etch their brain, actually produce, how should I say, pathways in their brain for massive addiction. And you and I have covered so many times on the show that the same algorithms that are used for slot machines are used for these doggone games they do on these computers. And these kids get hopelessly addicted to it and they don't know what else to do with it. They get more and more and more addicted. And sadly, you know, you sit back and you watch it and you go, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, parents shouldn't feed their kids junk food either. You know, I was talking to a kid the other day who lives on Dr. Pepper. I mean, lives on it. The kid is like, he's like 10 years old. He's 4'5" tall. Won't eat anything but just candy and Dr. Pepper. And I tried to talk to him about his diet. And, you know, he gets picked on. He gets bullied all the time. And then you realize that, you know, he's on ADD medication, ADHD medication. And he's on all these drugs to try to combat the side effects of all the junk food that he eats. But yet the parent is too busy, because this is a divorced parent, to try to pay attention to what he's doing, because, you know, they're having their own health issues and own health quandaries. And you said something earlier, Austin. You said that these drug companies, they don't want people to get healthy. They want them to stay sick and stay on the medication. There was an article in the Financial Times from years ago. I had it for many years, and I probably still have it laying around somewhere. And it said that the goal of a lot of these manufacturers, these drug manufacturers, is to make diabetes and cancer and all these types of diseases a long-term disease, like they do, like they've done with diabetes. So cancer, so you can stay on a drug for years, if not decades, to massively increase the profits to the shareholders. It said that in the article. It's nothing about curing the cancer. It's about making it a long-term disease that can be basically manipulated and that people can basically continue to be on that drug forever and ever, amen, so they can continue to massively increase the profits to the manufacturer. Isn't that what they're doing? And there's a really good article that came out. It says, Satanic Betrayal, American Christian Pastors Coerce Congregants to Take the COVID Jobs, the Jabs. And, you know, it says, in exchange for cash bribes from the government, thousands of American pastors pushed the coronavirus vaccines to their congregation, and now they have many people in their church that are either chronically ill or dead as a result. The report from American Out Loud explains that a government program called Faith for Vaccines, which was birthed out of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services vaccine propaganda machine, convinced money-grubbing faith leaders to sell out their flocks to Big Pharma. The COVID community corpse has about 86 founding members, most of them falling into one of the faith leader categories. They include, but are not limited to, the American Baptist Church, the Catholic Charities, the Episcopal Church, the National Association of Evangelicals, the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, and the New York Jewish Agenda. Manipulating scripture to brainwash the people in the churches, it says. Some so-called pastors are not just swayed by money to manipulate their congregants, though. Through careful trickery, government officials manipulated scripture and biblical concepts to convince faith leaders that Jesus wanted them to push the COVID jabs on their congregants. Jesus wanted them to give the COVID jabs to the congregants? Former National Health Reverend Dr. Francis Collins, yes, he actually calls himself that, spoke to hundreds of faith leaders back in 2021, claiming that the COVID jobs were God's answer to prayer. He urged all of them to push the shots as part of the love your neighbor moment. You know, in fact, it's so funny, Austin, that this came out like this. And I had saw a guy one time walking with his family and his mother, his wife, his about 3 or 4 little kids. And it was basically love your neighbors as yourself, you know, get a COVID jab for you and your neighbors. And he was walking around with a T-shirt like this. And I stopped and I asked him, you know, I actually confronted him. He's a pencil neck. So I thought I'd ask him. I said, why are you promoting this when it's a vaccine that has never been tested? When it's basically an emergency youth vaccine and you have no idea what long-term side effects could be for you or your family. He goes, well, we have to try to love one another. And I said, wait a minute, how in the world can you basically tell them that, you know, it's okay to basically have this type of information, you know, coming to them? It doesn't make any sense if you can't prove these vaccines work. And so the sad part about this is just kind of sad when you stop and you think about it. But you got to realize that, you know, if you have parents out there and you're trying to get them to help, you know their kids, that's one thing. But the kids also have to learn to listen. And if kids don't want to listen, they're not going to make any choices as far as what they're going to do. And, you know, it's sad to me this actually happened in churches. It really is, because I have a good friend of mine who's a pastor, and basically they have come in and said, you know, this is not okay. You know, and basically we're not going to tell our congregations to, you know, to get these vaccines. But then I have a lot of friends that are pastors that promoted and pushed the vaccines. So you have to ask yourself a question. Why in the world are they doing this? And how much money were they given by the federal government in order to implement this? Is this part of the clergy response team? I mean, how in the world do we know? I mean, we have no idea, you know, exactly what's going on. Now, let me give you another story. This is out of a, and this is a sad thing too. It really is. A teen girl is left in critical condition after a high school mob beat down in Missouri. As shocking footage shows her head being repeatedly slammed against concrete blocks until she blacked out. A teenage girl is in critical condition after another teen repeatedly smashed her head into the ground during a brawl in a Missouri high school. The fight broke out around 2:30 p.m. near Hazelwood High School. Video of the incident circulated on social media showing another girl bashing the teen's head into the concrete after throwing multiple punches and sending her careening to the ground. The victim appeared to have been had a seizure. A group of other teens brawled just feet away. Police found the girl suffering from a serious head injury near the intersection of Norgate Drive and Claudine Drive, roughly 5-minute walk from the high school campus. Now, you know, fights have happened in school for a long, long, long time. I mean, that's not a fact. That's a fact. I mean, I saw that when I was a kid. But what I've also, but what I didn't see when I was a kid were people bashing people's head into the concrete until they were unconscious. I've never seen that whatsoever. I know years ago, Austin intervened in a fight. He was at somebody's house, and he was at a party, and some guy came in and sucker punched another guy and then had him on the ground and beating his head into the concrete and slamming his head into the concrete. And Austin grabbed the guy who was beating the other guy, put him in a rear naked choke and choked him unconscious so that he wouldn't kill this guy. And when the police showed up, the police said that for a fact, had Austin not done this, guy would have probably been killed. Now, the sad part about all of this stuff is when you stop and you look at this, you start thinking to yourself, why in the world did this happen? What's happened to our culture? Why do people do stuff like this? And that's a good question, too. And it's not a rhetorical question. And again, it comes back to the fact that people aren't being taken to church anymore. People aren't being taught to treat one another with respect. And so these children are being raised in a lawless society, and they themselves are becoming lawless with no respect for other children or even for adults. And you say, well, that's horrible. Well, it is horrible. And when you see this type of behavior happening, you begin to realize very, very quickly that if we don't start raising children like the Bible says to do and the way they should go, this is the behavioral pattern you're going to always get. So always remember that we have to make sure that we train up our children in the way they should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it according to the scripture and what it says. So teaching your children respect is very, very, very important, and teaching your children to be reciprocal is very, very, very important, because if they don't do that, they never learn how to get along publicly with other people as they grow older, and they have a problem with interaction with people all of their lives. And that's what we've had now happen to us in the United States. You know, we've raised these children now for decades on video games, on iPads, you know, on internet, you know, consumption to the point of hours and hours and hours every day, and they've hardwired their brains in a different way, and they no longer have the ability to interact from a social standpoint with their friends if they're not online or if they're not playing a game. The sad part about all of this stuff is if we don't start doing something different, we're going to have some horrible results later on, because we're going to lose the ability to communicate in the United States and with our children and with our parents and with our siblings and with everybody else. So that's the thing that I wanted to really kind of emphasize on this, is that, you know, when we have, like Austin said earlier, if we have pharmaceutical companies pushing drugs, pushing drugs, pushing drugs, pushing drugs all the time and never looking at the reason, you know, red dyes and blue dyes are two of the primary causes of ADD and ADHD in children. Red dyes and blue dyes, high fructose corn syrup, another big problem with children. And that, you know, there's 10 to 12 teaspoons of high fructose corn syrup in one soda. And it has absolutely zero nutrient density. Plus, the high fructose corn syrup is made with GMO corn that has been sprayed with glyphosate, which is Roundup, and is toxic. On top of everything else, you're putting toxic stuff into the body, which causes it causes the intestines to be damaged, which prevents proper nutrient absorption. So all of this stuff adds up to the point that if you don't stop it from a standpoint of a parent standpoint, it just gets worse and worse from the child standpoint. So we have to understand this, guys, from a health standpoint, that if we do not do what's right to the best of our ability, it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and we're going to be dealing with this all the days of our lives trying to take care of this. I know I've got friends of mine we've got children with special needs, and that kind of stuff never changes as you get older. It's just as the child gets older, I've got this one, my one friend Van Green. He has to take care of a young man who's basically he's got autistic problems, and the kid's in his mid-20s now, and he's become increasingly more violent, and he likes to hit people now. And the sad part about it is that Van can control him, but his mom can't control him anymore. His grandmother can't control him anymore. So what do you do with a child once the parents pass away or the father passes away and that child can no longer be controlled? Well, then it becomes a social burden for the population to deal with millions of children that are mentally damaged from either from vaccines or because their brains have been hardwired because they don't know how to interact because of video games. All of this stuff is a problem that Cloward and Piven has brought to us in the United States of destroying the social fabric of the country through basically social welfare systems. So we all have to be so very, very careful and realize that we need to work together as a team, Austin. We need to work together as a family, as a unit, to try to do the best we possibly can to help these kids. And that includes taking them to church on a regular basis. Because if they go to church on a regular basis, they're gonna learn all kinds of things about what the Bible says we should and shouldn't do, which teaches a moral principle for the children. You know, I know a lot of parents, and I know this. I mean, I see this all the time. They've got kids that are involved in multiple sports, and every weekend, you know, I know the soccer fields in Auburndale, they're filled with people playing soccer on both Saturday and Sunday. Kids aren't in church, parents aren't in church. They're playing sports, playing games. And the one thing I've learned a long, long time ago is this. And I was taught this very young, at a very young age. I started working when I was 8 years old. I'm not saying that was something that needed to be done, but it was something that was done to me because my parents were divorced. I've learned often that basically if you teach a child when they're young that life's not a game, when they're old, they'll remember that, and they're not going to treat life like a game. I mean, this is not a practice session we're in with this life that we're in. It's not a practice session. We need to understand that. I don't have a bit of problem with kids being in taekwondo or being in football or being in baseball or whatever. But it can't take priority over everything in the life, especially from a spiritual standpoint. Because if it does, that child's never going to grow three-dimensionally, body, soul, and spirit. He'll have a great body. He'll be able to play football and play baseball and play soccer or play hockey or whatever he wants to do. But from a nutritional standpoint, if you don't teach him that part of it with the body, if you don't teach him the spiritual standpoint from what the Bible says and what the Word of God says, then what are you going to have? You're going to have a one-dimensional child that's going to be very self-absorbed, and everything becomes a game to that child for the rest of their life. And then suddenly when they get out of the real world and they have to do something that's basically not what they want to do, it becomes a burden to them. Always remember that we've got to make sure that we take care of our kids on a regular basis and realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us if we do what we're supposed to do. And so when these pastors are out there, Austin, and they're promoting the COVID shot from the platform, you know, if I was a pastor, I would say, look, this is an untested vaccine. If you're going to do that, you're doing it on your own. I'm not advising you to do that. I'm not advising you anything to do with any of this stuff. I'm staying neutral on this. If I was a pastor, I would read them the statistics and tell them, hey, look, this is not something that you want to do at all, ever. That's what I would do. But so many people have done this, and these pastors get involved in things they shouldn't be involved in, and it's sad to me. It really, really, really is, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Well, yes, and exactly what they push as far as with this whole ideology in the pulpits with the COVID shot is it's blind compliance. That's something that's I'm going to step on some toes with this. That's very systemic in the church community and the Christian community. I'm just going to be honest with you. Don't write me letters. I don't need any arguments on this. I've seen it my whole life is that a lot of times these pastors promote this blind compliance because of doctrine that they bring up from verses in Romans, essentially that it doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what anybody does. If they are remotely in authority at any point in time, you have to have blind compliance to everything they say. This complete and total abomination of the doctrine, and it completely goes against the Word of God when they teach this, especially when whatever the blind compliance is does not go along with what Christ said. Christ talks about your body being a temple. He didn't say it's an experimental guinea pig for you to start taking RNA gene therapy shots we'll see what happens because the all-powerful government said you need to get it. This concept is completely and totally inept. It really is. And what it's done is these churches have been compromised by a lot of these groups in order to promote this ideology for, again, what? The pharmaceutical industrial complex to continue to keep their billions ramping in and ramping in and ramping in. And it worked. There was a lot of it that happened. There's a lot of churches and pastors that I heard bring this topic up. And they, you know, oh, well, everybody just needs to, you know, it's love thy neighbor as thyself. You need to get the shot because you love thy neighbor. What? So my shot doesn't work unless you get your shot? That whole stupidity that came about this still boggled my mind. It's like coming and saying, well, my Sudafed allergy medication doesn't work unless you take Sudafed too. I'm still going to have allergies unless you take your medication. That's how it works. That's actually the stupidest concept I've heard in my life when it comes to a scientific standpoint. But again, that's what they rolled out with. That's what they said on social media. That's what they said on mainstream media. And people actually bought it. That was the sad part. And that, again, goes back to exactly what I talk about as far as asking questions, using your mind. You know, God's given us this big brain in our skull. It's the ability to have reasoning. Deductive reasoning, thought processes, understanding what's going on. You don't have to always go certain directions and you can make your own choices. That's what free will is all about. However, always ask the question and look back. What am I doing and why am I doing it? Am I doing it because I truly believe this is the best direction to go for my health? Am I doing it because I think this is the most educated decision that I've made? Or are you doing it because simply somebody's telling you to do it in a position, whether it be on television, whether it be at a community center, whether it be at a church, simply saying you need to do this because this is what's right. Or this is the good thing to do. But why is it the good thing to do? Well, you can't ask questions, peasant. Don't question that. I've told you guys this, and I will repeat myself because I have said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more times. Anybody that is in a position of authority that refuses to allow you to ask questions about what they're telling you to do, you need to ask every question in the book about their authority and who they actually are. Because nobody that's ever in a position of true authority that actually is looking for your best interest will ever have a problem answering your questions or concerns. Ever. Never have, never will. Jesus never did. He had people question him all the time, and he responded with parables. He responded to references. He responded to statements. He always encouraged people to ask him questions and expand on it. Whenever you have somebody that's telling you, you need to do this and you need to do that, and then you simply go, well, why? like the Fauci, like the piece of garbage, steaming pile of feces Fauci said, I am science. If you question me, you're questioning science. Cannot question me, loose quote, what he said, essentially stating nobody can question anything I say because whatever I say is essentially the truth. Golly, guys, you don't talk about somebody that's just lying through their teeth and has not your best interest in heart. Once you hear something like that, someone come out of their mouth. And so again, that's why it's so important to do your own research and really dig in and find out what's really going on, especially when you start having people tell you you can't ask questions. Speaking of compromising free speech and other factors that they're continually trying to do right now, Washington State, not surprising to me, they're going in now and saying they just passed a bill, went through the Senate and the Congress and Senate. Now it's awaiting basically the governor's approval. That it's section SB 5427, and essentially is going to have allow private citizens to report incidents of hate crimes or bias incidences directly to state attorney general's office through a hotline with the possibility of receiving a $2,000 for non-criminal incident. Proponents say the proposal is intended to help victims of hate crimes, though critics have blatantly said SB 5427 will instead create a tattletale hotline and undermine true criminal investigations. They went on to say here that essentially what's going to allow to do is anybody that says something to you, if it's in via text or they can actually prove it, then you could simply report them in and say, oh, this is a hate crime. This is a biased incident. I'm having a hate crime committed against me. And essentially, you could start going in now and acknowledge that the incidents are non-criminal. The bill treats them as a matter as a hate crime, which is a Class C felony. The hotline would take calls for both. And law enforcement agencies are directed to refer people subject to both a hate crime and bias incidents on the hotline. The more I read about this stuff, this gets so Orwellian now where it's going. So essentially now you want to start allowing individuals to snitch on one another because somebody got offended. Newsflash, life is offensive. Things are offensive. There's going to be things you're exposed to that you don't agree with. There's going to be things that you see and you hear that you don't like. That's okay. Newsflash, those things are going to occur your entire adult life, and you can either decide to be an adult about them and handle them accordingly, or you can decide to be a big giant crybaby and whine about every single thing you hear because you're basically a pathetic peasant. That's what they want you to be. They want you to be so sensitive that somebody says something to you you don't agree with, and you sit on the floor screaming, demanding Play-Doh. That's how you create an unbelievably soft generation that cannot handle any type of stress. The thing about it is being able to manage stress, being able to manage certain instances that occur in your life, and being able to handle them and analyze them and then react to them or respond to them later is a key principle of concrete rational thought. Being able to have collective thoughts and analyze situations and go, you know what? I don't agree with that. I'm going to move on. We're going to agree to disagree. Or simply go, no, I completely disagree with you on that. Let's discuss it more. Those are concepts that are really important in a republic, because an open topic, open discussions, free speech are crucial to growth. They're crucial to building. They're crucial to having a community that can work together. When you start allowing any single person that slightly gets remotely offended by any comment you make to start snitching on you, and now they're going to be incentivized to possibly get money back because they snitch on you, my gosh, how far has Washington State fallen? I knew they were liberal, but the fact that they're actually putting this in the law, geez, that's just embarrassing on a whole other level. And again, that's what we're seeing now in so many states, while at the same time now we're funding weapons the entire other parts of the world, telling everybody that we need to continue to fund wars, while we're telling everybody here we have snitch hotlines for people to get offended. If you can't see the concerted effort to undermine the United States, and it goes back to exactly what Dad just said with these young children now, it's the same thing these kids is happening with these kids. I'm not saying kids have to be brought up unbelievably tough and aggressive and violent in their younger years. What I'm saying is you also have to have discussions with them to say, hey, listen, not everything's going to go your way. You're not always going to get a participation trophy. Things are going to be rough sometimes. Sometimes things are going to be brutal. Sometimes you're going to have to grind through things. Like I said before on the show last week, if the road to success and the road to the goals you wish to achieve, that you want to accomplish, that you have set in your sights that are top tier, if the road was easy, everybody would have it. It would be simple. If the end of the road had a bar of gold and 100 people started on the road and 100 people get there and you split the bar of gold up 100 ways, it wouldn't have much value and nobody would really care that you got it. But it's not. The bar of gold at the end of the road, 100 people may come after it, and there's only going to be one that finishes that road because it's grueling, because it's supposed to be tough, because it's supposed to be hard, because it's supposed to be an accomplishment that was worth fighting for and was pushing for. And that's the concept of socialism that is being pushed and indoctrinated into this younger generation, that essentially, oh, we need universal basic income. Everybody needs to basically be able to have a snitch hotline to complain about anything that they don't like or somebody says something to them. Everybody needs to have a participation trophy. Even if 6'4" grown men want to go swimming on the women's swimming team and they absolutely crush the competition because of their arm span and their leg span and their VO2 max and their cardiovascular system because they're a foot taller than all the other girls swimming, it's okay. You need to allow him to do it because, you know, you don't want to allow him to feel like he's, you know, he's not part of the group. You know, he's confused. And we need to all dig into his fantasy and go along with his delusion because, well, that's what we do now. No, anybody that actually wants to do that, when the gun goes off and everybody jumps off the block, you let the idiot jump off the block and live in his delusion and swim by himself. Then you give him his little participation trophy. You put the dunce cap on him. You put him in the corner. You tell him to be happy. You got your little trophy. You won on your own. Now you get to go sit in the corner. Now you let all the females compete against females as it's supposed to be. You don't go along with delusional psychosis that individuals are occurring right now and exhibiting. You don't go along with it. And that's the problem in society. When you start doing it, the line gets blurred, and it gets blurred really fast. And that's what we're watching right now in this younger generation. And that's why I've encouraged so many people to really make sure they understand what their children are being indoctrinated into these school systems. And by all means, get directly involved. Go to school meetings. Go to school board meetings. Talk to your parents. Talk to other parents. Talk to the school board. Because quite frankly, there's still a lot of good people in the school system. There's a lot, especially down here in Florida. There's a lot that really are trying to push for truth and freedom. But then you also have a lot of these communists that have gotten into these systems, and they need to be rooted out, and they need to be called out for what they are, and they hate that. Communists and Marxists hate it when you shine the flashlight on them like cockroaches. They can't stand it. That is one of the most effective ways you can call them out, is expose them for what they're doing and what their agenda is. When you do that, they now know the gig is up. The game's over with. Everybody knows who they are and what they're doing. And that is one of the most effective things you can do, is getting truth out there and calling things out for what they are, Dad. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts has an excellent article today. I've already posted it. It'll be up tonight. It says that, you know, it says, can Americans have hope? And he goes on to say that basically Tucker Carlson's interview with Steve Kirsch reveals that it's impossible in the medical world to speak the truth, that the top doctors in medical research sciences cannot state the truth about the COVID mRNA vaccine and childhood vaccination without losing their jobs and becoming a non-person. We had that happen to a dear friend of ours, ended up having to spend $5 million in litigation fees. He was a chiropractor, osteopathic physician, because he talked about vitamin D being important for the immune system. They finally dropped the case against him after they basically, you know, forced him to pay all that money to defend himself. You know, what this means is the medical profession is forced to protect Big Pharma's profits and the reputations of Dr. Fauci, the NIH, the CDC, the FDA, and WHO, at the expense of human life and health. The prostitutes are lined up with those who dictate the narrative. And then he goes on to say, and I found this very interesting, movies such as The Matrix and V for Vendetta are not fantasy movies. They are accurate reports on our time. Soon we need to take a day off and celebrate our cats, our animal friends, our wives and husbands, parents and children and human friends. There's still a lot here for us. Perhaps a compilation of stories would serve to show what is at stake for all of us as our government stampedes us into tyranny. But for now, let's take a look at the year before us. This is important. Despite the fact that Trump is the favorite, he's being basically eviscerated by the press again. Despite this fact, and remember, allegedly America is a democratic republic subject to the will of the people, we witness Democratic state Supreme Court justices ruling that Trump is an insurrectionist and it should be banned from the ballot. How much more hard evidence is needed to establish that Democrats do not believe in our democracy, which they don't. In most cases, Democrats are hardcore communists. I'm adding that. Just they're socialists. The last two national elections were clearly rigged. We know that without having to list the enormous documented amount of evidence for electoral theft. The issue that faces us is there is no possibility whatsoever of Biden being reelected. The fool lined us up with Israel and the genocide of the Palestinian people. The fool has lost the war in the Ukraine that absorbed untold billions of American dollars. The fool has violated his oath of his office and has not only allowed us, but has actively participated in bringing, during his 4 years, 48 cities the size of Pittsburgh full of immigrant invaders. 48 cities the size of Pittsburgh have been brought into the United States, actually flying at the expense of U.S. taxpayers, 320,000 immigrant invaders. The fool is signing over to an international bureaucracy, the WHO, the determination of our health care, which is, as many as May of this year will be out of your hands, is what he's saying now with Paul Craig Roberts. And I'm going to stop this, too. Paul Craig Roberts is calling these guys, calling him a fool. And I know the Bible warns us about calling people fools. But, you know, when it comes to somebody like Biden, in which they're basically doing what they do, I got a feeling that, you know, it's going to be OK to call him a fool because, quite frankly, he is a fool. And secondly, he's senile. That's the biggest problem I have with him as the president of the United States. I mean, again, why couldn't he have taken a helicopter from where he was speaking on Saturday back to the airport in Atlanta? Why did he have to close down 8 lanes of interstate highway? Or was it just a power grab to show everybody who he was? I don't know. He goes on to go. He's on to say, but how can a candidate described by his own Department of Justice to be too incompetent to stand trial for his illegal possession of secret national security documents be sufficiently competent to be president of the United States and to have his incompetent hands so ruled by his own Justice Department the nuclear briefcase? How can Democrats run a candidate for president that has been ruled incompetent by his own government? How is it Democratic state judges, attorneys generals, and secretaries of states illegitimately rule that Trump cannot be on the Democratic state's ballots because he is an insurrectionist and Trump has not been convicted of being an insurrectionist? Moreover, the 14th Amendment assigns the decisions of the U.S. Congress not to state judges, attorney generals, and the secretaries of state. Are the Democrats so stupid and incompetent that they do not understand basic law and cannot understand they are asserting a power they do not have? I'm going to let you read this article because this is very, 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 very important. And if you understand what he's talking about here, you start to understand that if all else fails, the bullets to destroy JFK and RFK are available. There is no doubt that the corrupt U.S. media would attribute Trump's assassination to a lone gunman. Now they're talking about going in and getting rid of Trump, you know, and somebody shooting him. This is insanity that we're living here watching this stuff happen in real time. And I hope and pray that nobody assassinates anybody. I wouldn't recommend that anybody do something like that. It's horrible. I remember when John F. Kennedy got shot. I remember when Reagan got shot. I remember when all of these things happened. It's not a good thing when you start shooting presidents of the United States. Maybe that's why they had the motorcade. I don't know. Maybe that's why they had the interstates closed down. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to protect him because they know how many people hate him. I don't know. But the reality is this: if we continue to do what we've done to get to where we are in this country, we're not going to have any different results. It's like Austin said a few minutes ago, what are you doing? What is it doing to me? And is that okay? What is the communist agenda doing to the United States? What is it doing to us? It is basically creating a police state here. It's what it's doing. It's creating a violent police state that's being controlled by the judges and non-elected officials in our bureaucracy. And is that okay? That's not okay for me. That's not okay for a lot of other people, because we need to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We don't have to sit here and allow these people to do what they're doing to us on an ongoing basis without protesting and saying things about it. So that's the most important thing that I want to cover today on the show today, is that if we continue to sit blindly by and not allow ourselves to see the truth and pretend like it's okay that our children are being indoctrinated, that we're eating junk food by huge amounts of high fructose corn syrup that's causing fatty to liver disease and all kinds of other problems, and nobody wants to tell anybody about the truth. I know I got eviscerated, Austin, for many, many years on the seminar circuit when I would be talking to people about eating certain foods. I was told basically not even to bring up vaccinations and autism because of the problem with the blowback at the seminars. I was told on many radio talk shows I couldn't discuss those topics. Now they're open topics for everybody. Why? Because people tried to censor the truth even back when I was doing it many years ago. But now people are finally telling the truth, but now people don't know what to do. And they don't realize there's all kinds of alternatives to what they've been told as far as what the reality is. If they simply listen and pay attention, they can feed their kids healthy. They can get they can put their kids in parochial schools. They can do all kinds of things. They can do homeschooling. They don't have to have their kids enrolled in schools in Missouri where as soon as they leave the schoolyard, they get beaten up and left in a coma with their heads pounded on the concrete. It's not necessary. All of this stuff is something that's and we are in the throes of the downfall of our republic. And if we don't stop it, it's going to vastly accelerate. What do you think, Austin? What's your next story? And close this thing up.
No, you're 100% right. And that's why, building communities together and getting groups of like-minded people is so crucial, especially where you live at and across other areas.
That's correct.
And that's one of the reasons why I've told you guys, I'm asked you guys, and a bunch of people did this, and we've been sending coupon codes out. The Instagram team_healthmasters. We've had to start all over again with this, but we're really trying to work on building a community, a team, so to speak, of people all across the country and people that are together as far as with this now. And so the new platform we're going to be building with a new website with Health Masters, with the Instagram now, we're really trying to bring everybody together, not just with the aspect of supplements and health. That's a huge factor that we're bringing everybody again. We have for years, but also from a community standpoint. So if you guys can do me a favor, like I told you guys last week, team_healthmasters, go on there and like a post, follow us, and write a comment on one of the products on there, and we'll send you guys a direct message and DM with a coupon code for basically a 5% off on whatever product you want on the website. Be sure to go check that out and expand it, because the more the communities start to build together, this is kind of what I'm envisioning here with a team and getting people together all across the country and statewide that can really start working together. Because one thing I've seen now with Health Masters customers, listeners, friends, and family is a lot of us are all on the same page, and we all realize it's numbers that you start putting together. So thank you again for that, team_healthmasters. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the B Complex formula, on sale for more 2 more days, and a few other products like resveratrol on the front page as well on sale. Check it out, healthmasters.com. Y'all have a blessed, safe, awesome night, my friends. Stay strong, stay sharp, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow on this show, as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.